hi, gay is not sin. Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. Are you ready? We like to say Jesus is coming soon. But there's a few things that would be nice if when you're talking about Jesus is coming soon, is that there are certain conditions. There are things that are supposed to happen. And if you do not see these kinds of things happening, then Jesus isn't coming anytime soon. Now we have this word soon. And we can use the word soon for 100 years, actually. 100 years ago, they could say Jesus is coming soon. Or at least 1948, when Israel became a nation, people think Jesus is coming soon. Because when Israel becomes a nation, then that generation won't pass away. So now we have a whole bunch of people that can figure out what generation means. We have lots of ideas about generation. It's almost to a whim of what you want a generation to be. How many years? The easiest type of way is just to bypass every single thing else of every kind of interpretation and just say that then whoever is born on the day that Israel became a nation again, which is in 1948 area, then those people in the whole world, 6 billion or so, back then it was probably only 4 billion, 3-something billion or something like that. No, about 6 billion. Don't quote me on the numbers, 6.3 billion today or something, but, you know, we were billions less back when Israel became a nation. And so, those numbers of people that were born on that day, and if we take the Bible literally, we actually could go to the very day that Israel became a nation, officially, and then those people that were born all that day, a 24-hour period or something, somebody will be left alive when Jesus returns. So it might be down to the very last one if we get technical and want to try to make what could be the possibly longest time. So if we knew that there was one person left alive of all the people that were born when Israel became a nation, then, and that person's about to die, he's on the deathbed there, then you know you only have a few days left, perhaps, as long as that person's still hanging on to life. But, you know, that's the absolute maximum. That's one thing that's going to be kind of interesting. About no other time in history have we ever had Israel becoming a nation. So the verse, and that generation shall not pass away, has never ever had to be in force because Israel never became a nation. And there's still going to be all kinds of people that are arguing the points and this and that. But generally speaking, this going around and saying Jesus is coming soon has to be along the lines of understanding soon for the 6,000 years that have already gone by. For, you know, 100 or so years, pretty soon. But back in Jesus' day, you know, that's 2,000 years. Jesus is coming soon. Well, that's a 2,000 year. When you look at the 6,000 year we have now, 2,000 years of that is an awfully long time. So it's kind of misleading. However, now we can come up to when people are saying soon, it is at least whoever is left alive when Israel became a nation. So that part of it's pretty simple to figure out. If we need to argue about generation, you know, because some say 40, some 35, some say, well, the Bible says this, and some say, well, you look at all the generation we got. We got the great-grandparents, the grandparents, the fathers, the son, or daughters. So you got generations. And we could say, well, there's 5 generations living today, or 4 generations living today. But how long is a generation? Because everybody, you know, when I first came to Christ, they like to say, well, the Bible seems to indicate 4 years is a generation. But, like I said, the easiest way is simply, if everybody's still left alive, or whoever's left alive that was born on that day, then that person can't die until Jesus comes back. That means we've got, and then, you know, we got another type of a deal going on here. Jerusalem became the capital again, as it were, or taken back into Israel in 1967. So do we start the date from there? Well, it seems like the Bible says when the nation comes. It does say when Jerusalem becomes part of Israel again. No, it just says when Israel becomes a nation. So, and it also says that Jesus is going to go through that eastern gate. And right now, that's all bricked up. The cemetery is outside it. If you go to the eastern gate, it's all bricked up. So it at least has to be unbricked to go through it, you know. But anyway, so we get this situation that when you're sitting there on a pew and you're listening to a pastor or something, or you're out in a rally someplace and they're going, you know, and there's a camp meeting going on, you know, some of us that are really knowing the Lord, loving the Lord, and Pentecostal, you know, we want a camp meeting to get going or something. Well, I'm not all into all that kind of, as some people go, but, you know, I can get going here. Jesus is pretty nice, you know. When you get into the Spirit, you get kind of active. But you can't be going around saying that if Jesus were to come tonight, what if the rapture takes place? Do you feel confident that you will be saved, that you will be taken up to heaven? Lots of people use this. It's sort of like a scare tactic. Comes in a rally or something talking about the end times prophecy, how horrible it's going to get. You kind of miss it. You know, when I got saved, the prophecy rally I was at, they had some, it was kind of funny and kind of like a joke. And of course, it's not real. But, you know, you like to play around. You know, like they give you a birth certificate because you got born again. It's not really a valid type of thing or whatever. It doesn't actually mean anything. But it's just kind of interesting. Us humans just like to have little things we can put on here and just look at, you know, and see. There's my birth certificate, my born again birth certificate. The reminder of that day. The paper is nothing. What happened is your relationship to Jesus began, and that's all that mattered. But if you got to the point where you know, like I was saying, that at this rally I was at, they had a little, like a train ticket or a plane ticket or something, and it says, ticket to the first plane or first something. Don't remember, I have it here somewhere, I guess. It's a ticket to heaven. I mean, you want to catch the first plane or the first train or whatever it is to go there, you know. Yeah, the idea is that you ain't going to go through any tribulation. And that's the general feeling of the church today, is you're not going to go through tribulation. You just got this idea that God had not meant His people for His wrath. And we love to quote that verse. And we like to ignore all the verse that says as many as 2/3 of all Christians today are going to turn their backs on Jesus. We hate that kind of verse. We hate the verse that says that the only way you're going to possibly make it to the rapture is that you've got to be refined through the refiner's fire. You've got to be melted down and sifted of all your filth before you can get to heaven. And then this is talking about living people. See, when you die, you already got a guarantee. Something happens when you're dead. I call it washed in the blood. You know, we say, we're washed in the blood and all that. We love that. The blood of Jesus, we like to claim and all that. We just say, we're washed in the blood, and we think that's all there is to it. Well, we didn't feel anything, really. And we feel maybe some of us that got saved and had a real dramatic experience in the Shekinah glory of God, you're walking around in clouds, you know, and tears are flooding down there. You're having some kind of a same experience when you got saved because something came into you and you know it, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts, and you're looking around you. In my case, there was 100 other people that came to that altar, and they're all in this type of thing together, and they're all crying like crazy. They take you back in the back, and all that. It's like a fog, you know. But something different about this. That's why they call it the Shekinah glory. Because there's something radiating about this type of fog. I mean, you feel this presence of love. It's amazing. I mean, there's just people going all around. You have no idea. They're trying to tell you stuff and all that kind of stuff, but you're just in this kind of cloud type of deal. You know, some of you experience this kind of thing. Others of you just said the prayer. Either way, you know. You say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I rose you on the third day. Forgive you my sins. Come into my life. Replace some. You'll feel faith. You stick it, see? You stick it born again. You should believe that. You might have some kind of experience at some other time or something. Maybe you won't. There are lots of people in the world. Go figure. Why do some people get something and some people just want it so badly and they seek it and they look and they never get it? Kind of interesting. So we like to have to make all kinds of other stuff. And part of it, you know, it's Bible-based, so, you know, God's will, God's purpose, and God's time, due season, and all that. We can dig out all kinds of scriptures to get why something didn't happen. When it maybe should have happened, or we wanted it to happen, or we believe it. We're not greedy. We're not trying to steal, rob, or anything. We genuinely want all that God has for us. And we seek Him, you know. I mean, everybody's just about, I would think, that is a Christian. We'd like to see Jesus standing there. Walk up. We hear some of these preachers get up. Oh, I'm in the hospital bed. And then I heard somebody walking down the hall. And then come there, here's Jesus, all in his robe and white robe and everything. And he actually walks down and sits down on my bed. And so all of us are listening to this guy because we really believe him. You know, this is Kenneth Hagin. Because, you know, many, many years ago I heard him. I don't know if he still keeps telling this story. If he believes the story, he's got to be consistent. And so he keeps telling this story. So I'm sure that many of you that might listen to Kenneth Hagin might have heard this story, that Jesus came and walk in and sit down on the bed like this. You look at this guy, you know, I loved him. He preached so wonderful, so good a gospel he preached, and the principles of God and stuff who he taught and all that kind of stuff. Oh, what a deception that some Christian ministers can give to you. You soak it all in, and you're soaking in so much of these headline household name ministers. And you don't read about them and find out some things that are true about them. You just soak it in. He says, you know, Jesus walked in. And so this makes us desiring Jesus all the more. Why can't Jesus come into me? I love him. Who can tell anybody that I don't love him more than anybody else? Oh, I so long to seek Jesus. Oh, you know what I'm saying. You want Jesus so badly to manifest himself somehow. And you're not trying to be greedy for it or anything. You don't want to see a sign like Jonah and God, you know, saying the unbelievers are going to see a sign like Jonah the 3 days and then in the water there. And Jonah saying, you know, if I dare go and save these people, they're going to repent, and then you're not going to do this thing. You don't want to see some kind of dramatic disaster happen to the town. You want something so desirable. But you see, this is a genuine desire that you have to see more of Jesus, to want Jesus. He never happened. And then we see somebody like Kenneth Hagin saying, Jesus, come down there, you know. What's so special about Kenneth Hagin? Does he somehow love God more? Why is he so special? Well, we have to start getting out our list of reasons, you know, because we need to know why God is doing something with someone. He's an apostle, I guess. He's especially anointed and called. There are people like that, yeah. But God gives you it too. It's not just these powerful Christian leaders around that can have anything to do with God. A lot of their power is the dollar. You could do a lot with a dollar. They got dollars. They could buy whatever they want. And they got the technology of the wonders of editing and so forth. They could go and they interview certain people that they choose. And they could continue to put forth onto you to see this wonderfulness that can happen. And you're sitting back here often. You know, like I said, there's 6 billion people in the world. And there's so many that are Christian, maybe a third, something like that. Of course, then you've got the real believers and all that knocks that down figure even more. You know, they say 60 million Christians in America. Huh? at least 30 million are claiming to be Christian, but they're not. But I'm talking about true believers who really want Jesus. And he's not coming, but you're seeing it. You know? Especially if you're getting up there in your 60s and stuff like that, like I'm just about to hit. And you can look back down there and you can say, well, you know, you've been to a camp meeting or two. And you heard a lot of these evangelists and ministers and faith ministers and all that. And they tell you all these stories about how Jesus came to them. Sat right down there. You can see him and touch him. Talk to him. He talks right back to you. And then so you think this is all possible. Hey, guess what? It is possible. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. We look in the Bible. We don't have a whole lot of people, mass production of Jesus going to people, basically, as we could say, in the flesh. In other words, that our flesh could see him. Doesn't happen very often. It's here, there, and the other place. And often, when we read about it, it's not the very significant people. Now, after a while, some of them do become patriarchs and so forth like that. So we go back to Kenneth Hagin, you know. I haven't had a chance to deal with this guy for a while. So we see this wonderful stuff that he's saying. We believe it. Poor man, we've been watching him for months and months, maybe years. He seems so good. He seems so knowledgeable. He seems so genuine. Like his voice, you know, it penetrates. Gets down into his soul. He grabs you. You know? And so you believe. It's good to believe. When people lie to you, the only way you're going to believe a lie is the lie looks like a truth. You're not going to go to a monstrous looking, grotesque Satan image of a demon or something and listen to them. You're going to go to something that looks like a sheep, a lamb. You want to see this person that really do cares for you. And so, a wolf can't come to you in his natural state. A wolf needs to put on sheepskin so that when you see him, you will see something that looks genuine and honest and sincere. And you cannot see his ravaging wolf's heart. And so you see somebody like Kenneth Hagin laying in the hospital bed, saying Jesus walked down the hall, came into his room, sat down, and started talking to him. And he also gave another indication, instant, where he was sitting someplace, some bench someplace, I can't remember the details of it, and Jesus came over and sat down beside him. Sounds really good. So believable coming from him. But then you want to know something? We got something more than no other Christian had in all of the 6,000 years that had gone by. Just in the last couple of decades. I mean, even in the 80s we didn't really have it. It wasn't until the 90s, even mid-90s, before suddenly we have the kind of technology that the stupid people, and I'm not trying to offend any of you, you know, commercial, you know, we're not all cavemen, and then the caveman said, huh? Because, you know, cavemen's still around, you know. Some of you have seen that one. Hey, what I'm saying, some of us stupid people, I mean, literally illiterate considering the computer and or thinking about going to these libraries and trying to find out how you can make this kind of finding of information that's true. How do you go and search and where's the money to go to all the places and all the lands in the world? Like the scholars and stuff, or the ministers or so before us has done. All these people with college degrees and all that kind of stuff, and doctorates and in the Bible and all that kind of stuff. And they could tell you all kinds of stories of how they've gone to different places. Well, you can't do that. How are you going to pay for all those plane tickets and hotels and all that to get there? And what book are you going to choose? You can sit down and read all this stuff? You don't have time. You got to work, pay your bills. What we have now is you can sit down You do all this kind of stuff. Then you sit down, you know, maybe instead of watching TV a few hours, you're going to go a few hours, maybe go late in the night even. Doesn't matter. You can do it. You sit there and do this on the computer. And what do you find?
Information.
You can't condemn the internet, people. The internet, you could find evil if you look for it. You can find lies if you want to. You can find truth if you seek it. Seek the truth and it'll be given. You will find the truth. Because there's so much. Westcott and Hoare, founders of all modern translation Bible, 50,000 to 80,000 corruption. You can find that. Can you before? Why didn't all these Bible scholars, why doesn't your pastor know about Westcott and Hoare? He went to Bible college. How did you get him to be your pastor and he doesn't tell you about Westcott and Hoare? Instead, he is giving you what Westcott and Hoare gave you. I mean, gave to the world. Counterfeit Satan Bibles. You don't see pastors. You don't see Bible colleges. You don't see these people telling you what you can find out by doing this. Not very much. You can type Westcott and Hoare. Will you find so much information? So many pages. You see a little figure. How many pages? Thousands and thousands of pages. At least you got the thing that goes off the 10, 20, 23 or so little things at the bottom of the page. You go next page, next page, next page, next page, next page. Oh, Westcott and Hoare. 20 down, 20 a page or so, and you click on these things, and you can read them and see what they say. Some of them don't say a whole lot. Some of them say a lot. Some of them get into details. Some go through a twist of things and get into even other details. And you find out that these Westcott and Hoare are really, really, really super evil people. And yet we love his Bibles. You know, New King James, New American Standard, ASV, all modern translations. So you study about these household minister names, Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, all the people that are on Paul Crouch's staff, Kenneth Hagin, 33rd degree Mason people, 33rd degree Mason, consistent. What do you think a 33rd degree Mason believes? They don't believe Jesus came down and sat on the bed. But they can tell you Jesus came down and sat on the bed beside him. And guess what you're going to do? Wow. And you're going to listen to him because, boy, Jesus sat down beside him and told him things. This guy's got information direct from Jesus. He's a 33rd degree Mason, people. George Bush is a 33rd degree Mason, people. Find out about Masons. Then you know Kenneth Hagin lied through his teeth. In these household ministries, Billy Graham and so forth, are lying through their teeth, making it, because you believe in them, seem like they're telling you the truth. And you can't distinguish between the truth and the lie from them, because they are giving you so much truth that you can't see the lie. And one day, it's going to take its toll. I don't know how yet exactly. I can guess a lot of different possibilities of how come so many household name ministers are 33rd degree Mason. How is the effect going to be? Is it going to be revealed and shocking to you? Don't know. If you don't know, Jesus turned up right now. Say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Forgive me of my sin. And then God rose you there. Come in and love my life. Now read the King James Bible. And get ready, people. Soon, can be very soon, but you need to see a few things. The two witnesses haven't even met, and they got to be together at least 2.5 years before the trip starts. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Okay.